Exodus this morning, Exodus chapter 23 is where we'll be at for the reading of God's Word, Exodus 23. Genesis, the second book in our Bible, is Exodus chapter 23. We'll be reading three verses, 14, 15, and 16 this morning. And once you've found that, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I'll read verses 14 and 16 if you'll read along with me, verse 15 of Exodus chapter 23. Again, Exodus 23, starting verse 14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of the harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading this morning. Lord, I pray, pour this morning the Holy Spirit ointment down upon the speaker. Lord, I pray, bless our preacher. Lord, I pray, bless the singing. Lord, I pray, prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, I pray, just would clear our thoughts and our mind as we listen this morning. I pray your work will be done, and we'll give you all the glory and praise. Amen.
I think of the day I met Jesus. He gave me a reason to sing. For everything changed in a moment. How I praise Him, my Savior and King. Oh, everything changed in a moment of time. The emptiness vanished away. My burdens fell off at the foot of the cross. Yes, everything changed on that day. My sin was forgiven. My guilt was all gone. Transformed by His power divine. The light of eternity started to shine. When everything changed in a moment, moment of time.
The door is still open to heaven. The Lord will forgive you today.
Receive His free gift of salvation. He will take all your burdens away.
Oh, everything changed in a moment of time. The emptiness vanished away. My burdens fell off at the foot of the cross. Yes, everything changed on that day. My sin was forgiven. My guilt was all gone. Transformed by His power divine. The light of eternity started to shine. Moment of time.
Good singing, folks. Thank you for that good song this morning. I enjoyed it, and so true. I'm going to speak today on the sweetness of His harvest. You're not going to find the word sweetness in the verses there. We just read verses 14 through 16. And I want to talk about the sweetness of His harvest, and it's going to require you to listen today. I have no sad stories. I have no emotional stories. I don't think I have anything story-wise that's going to reach out and grip your attention. So this is one of these that you're going to have to just pay attention on purpose. And I have a lot of Bible in this. I don't want to choke you with it. And if you enjoy the Word of God, I think you'll get a blessing out of this today. All right? I want to talk about the sweetness of His harvest. Now, something happened to the sound, Brother Payne. Maybe it's me. A little overwhelming up here, if it's the monitors or what. But if you could help us check all that. And I want to get right into this today, the sweetness of His harvest. Let's pray. And Heavenly Father, thank You for the moment of time that many of us look back on and see. It was the moment of our salvation, the day that Jesus Christ forgave us and cleansed us and washed us and became our personal Savior. There might be some in our congregation today who have not yet asked the Lord to come into their heart and, Lord, trusted Him for salvation. I pray that that heart might be ministered to this morning. And for the rest of us, Lord, that are saved, may our hearts be open and receptive, please, to what You have for us. Help me. I want to be the clay in the potter's hand this morning, the tool in the carpenter's hand. Would you help me? It'd be a blessing in Jesus' name. And amen. Our hearts for His harvest. By this time next week, all the stuff will be down. The banner will be gone. The flags. I could talk quite a bit about how wonderful the last week has been for us as a missions conference. But instead, I just want to finish this brief series on our hearts for His harvest. Now, you say, I thought you said when you got to the letter T that you were going to be done. I thought so too. Until I was reflecting on the conference this week, and it seemed like the Lord would not allow me just to move on to another subject without devoting one more message, at least, to the thought of the harvest. And then I realized that that word hearts has an S on the end of it. And I preached on a heart for His harvest, the expense of His harvest, asleep during His harvest, resolve for His harvest, truth about His harvest. And I left off the S. So it was a perfect opportunity to come to preach this morning on the sweetness of His harvest. All right. So the Lord knew in advance. I wasn't thinking, but the Lord knew. Now, to begin this thought today on the sweetness of His harvest, we have to look back at something here in the book of Exodus that God told the children of Israel to do after He brought them out of the land of Egypt. In verse number 14, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. So in verse number 14, we're told, the Jewish people were told that they're supposed to keep a feast three times in a calendar year. Now remember that the Jewish calendar was a little bit different than our calendar. It was made up of 12 months of 30 days. But the months were not in the same order numerically as ours. The first month for the Jews was the month of March, okay, not the month of January. So three times in a calendar year, beginning in March, they were to observe a feast. Look at verse 15. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. That's the first feast. It was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was also called the Passover Feast, okay? That's the first feast that the Jews were supposed to observe. Now look at verse number 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field. That's the second feast. Now, it's called the feast of harvest, or first fruits. So you've got a second feast here. There's another name for this. You find out later on, it's the feast of Pentecost. All right? So it's the Pentecost feast. It's the feast of first fruits. It's the feast of weeks. Or the feast of harvest. But now, wait a minute. Don't be misled by that word harvest. As it says here in this verse, look at it. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors. This feast was in anticipation for the harvest that was coming. Okay? It was not yet in yet. It was for the harvest that was coming. All right? So you got the feast of the Passover. That's the first one. You got the feast of Pentecost. That's the second one. And then verse number 16, in the middle of the verse, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year. Watch it now. When thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. So this is different. This is called the feast of ingathering, or the feast of tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. All of these names are used for that feast in the Word of God. Now, this feast, this third feast, is different from the second. This is at the end of the harvest, okay? And you're going to celebrate and rejoice for the harvest that God has given. So, three major feasts during the Jewish calendar year. The Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles, all referred to by different names. Now, listen, the Passover and the tabernacle feast were celebrated on specific dates. Okay, I'm not going to go into that this morning. But the first feast and the third feast were to be celebrated on specific dates. Now, Pentecost, that second feast, was more flexible because it was celebrated when the crops first began to appear. When the wheat and the barley and sometimes the corn would shoot up out of the ground, or after it lay dormant through the winter began to take on a growth again in the spring. That was when the Feast of Pentecost, that's when that feast actually began. What they would do is they would see those crops coming up. Now watch this. And then from the first time, we see that here in pretty soon, the fall of this year. Sometimes it's the end of April. Sometimes it's May that the farmers get out and plant the crops. crops. And a few weeks, a few days goes by, and you'll pass by a field that was once all black dirt or brown, and you look there and you see a hint of green. Many times I'll stop my vehicle and look, and I'll look down those rows, and you can just see the beans or the corn just coming up. Now, when the Jews saw, now watch this, when the Jews saw, that was they'd sown the seed. When they saw that harvest, they saw that crop start to peek through the soil, they started counting. They counted 7 weeks, and 40, that's 49 days, in case you didn't know, 7 times 7. And then they added a day for 50 days, and on that 50th day, they would celebrate Pentecost. Now, you say you don't always know what day the beans or the corn are going to pop up through the soil. Well, they didn't know either what day their crops were going to pop up through the soil. So they were watching, looking. And when that popped up through the soil, okay, let's mark our calendars. 7 weeks and one day, 50 days now, from now we're going to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, okay? Now, listen very carefully. That third feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, is the one I want to look at this morning, but I'm going to be talking about Passover and Pentecost as well. The Tabernacle Feast, or the Feast of Ingathering. This feast was held at the conclusion of the harvest. It was in September. It was late enough in the Jewish calendar. Now remember, they're a little different than we are over there. Our harvest usually isn't through until October. But over there, their harvest was done in September. And so it was in the seventh month, the month of September. The harvest would be completed. It would all be gathered in. Now watch it. This was cause for great rejoicing. Happiness and joy. And the blessings and the happiness and the sweetness of the harvest as they looked at the barley and looked at the wheat and looked at the corn and looked at the figs and looked at the olives and looked at the dates and all that they'd grown and harvested during the growing season. And they had it all there. The figs were drying for the winter and the grapes were being crushed. And it was just a blessed, blessed time. The sweetness of the harvest. That's what they said. By the way, let me just throw this at you real quick. The Jews call this feast. In their terminology, they call it Sukkoth. S-U-C-C-O-T-H. Orthodox Jews still observe this feast today. It's called Sukkoth. Still observe it today. And many believe that this feast in the Bible is what prompted the Bible-believing Christians who came to America on the Mayflower to have a day of Thanksgiving. You say, well, how did they know? Because they had that book with them. That's how they knew. They brought this book to the shores of this country. This thing wasn't founded by Muslims. This thing wasn't founded by Muhammad and people that believed in Allah. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was founded by people who believe in Jehovah God. And His Son, Jesus Christ, they brought His book to this country, not the Quran. So you have a bad spirit about that. Yes, worked a long time to get that way and plan to keep it. Amen. Yes. So they brought that. That's what they did. And the pilgrims had that first year. And then they looked at the harvest and they said, let's have it. Because this is what the Jews did. They rejoiced. They had the harvest and they celebrated. Man, it was God's provision. Oh, this is wonderful. So it was a time of celebration, a time of joy, a time of remembrance and thanksgiving and sweetness. And in Leviticus 23, you can learn more about this. They were told to build booths. Booths that had, it's kind of like a lean-to. We had two walls and a half wall and a roof over it. And the Orthodox Jews still do this today. They go in their backyard and they'll build a booth. And the kids, the Orthodox Jewish children, it's a big thing, like a little fort. And they gather under it and they rejoice. And they remember God's provision. And they remember God's blessing. And they were to do this, they were to remember the 40 years that God provided for them in the wilderness. And then they were to look at the current harvest. And it was a wonderful time. And they reflected on God's goodness and God's blessing and God's deliverance and God's provision. And you know what they would do? They would cut down palm branches and willow branches and cedar branches. They would cut the branches out of trees. And they'd put them around that little lean-to, that fort. And they'd live underneath there for 7 days and rejoice. And they would take those big branches and they would wave them before the Lord and rejoice and happy celebration and carry on like they were independent Baptists. Amen. That's right. Or like some independent Baptists anyway. But anyway. Yeah. They had a great time. And they're remembering the time of rejoicing and sweetness. And this is what the Jews did. So they got their calendar year started in March, and they observed the Passover. And then they got their calendar year kept going, and they observed Pentecost. And then their calendar year came to September, and they observed tabernacles. And they built little booths, and they lived in those booths and for 7 days. And they rejoiced because God's provision and all the harvest that was in. And it was a miraculous thing, a wonderful thing. That's wonderful. Now, you say, that's Old Testament Jews. How does that relate to us? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because that's what I'm excited about. You understand, friend, that Jesus Christ, for the New Testament Christian, is the fulfillment of all those Old Testament feasts. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of all those Old Testament feasts and celebrations for New Testament Christians like you and me. All wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me show you this morning how that happens. First of all, that first feast was called the Passover. Oh, friend, that was fulfilled when Jesus Christ died on Calvary and became our Passover lamb. Pointing back to that time in the land of Egypt when Moses had the children of Israel kill the sheep, kill the lamb, and put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And the death angel, the angel of the Lord, passed through the land of Egypt. And if the blood was placed upon the door, then the death angel passed over that house and judgment was spared. Judgment did not come to that home. Oh, but if there was a home where the blood of the lamb was not applied, then the angel of the Lord entered in and took the life of the firstborn. And there were thousands of Egyptian families that didn't put the Passover lamb's blood on the doorpost, and they suffered the loss of their firstborn child. And there was a great cry in the middle of the night, and they woke the children of Israel up, and they said, "Leave us, leave us." And they were screaming and mourning because judgment had come to their land. But every place where there was blood on the doorpost, there was protection from judgment. And Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary, became the Passover lamb, so that you and I could be protected from judgment. Protected from the wrath of God. And I'm simply saying, friend, I believe, like in the land of Egypt, I believe there are many in this room this morning who have already applied the blood of the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, to your heart by faith. But there are some in our group this morning, in our midst, who have not yet come to Jesus by faith, seeking to be saved, confessing that you're a sinner, admitting that you need Him. I don't know what you're holding back for. Some of you think you're going to do it in your own good time. I'll do that when I'm ready. Like you're in charge. You're not in charge, pal. No, you're not in charge. You can't even take your next breath without God's goodness handing it to you. That's what the Bible tells us. He hands every breath to us. You're not in charge. God's in charge. And in His grace, in His love, in His mercy, He sent His Son Jesus to hang and die like a criminal and be crucified for our sins, sins that you and I are guilty of. And put Him on His body and crucified Him and shed His blood so that we could be protected from the wrath of God someday in that lake of fire, that place called hell. And a friend, I'll tell you what, you need to climb down off of your high horse and humbly come to Jesus and beg for His mercy and forgiveness. And you know what you'll find? At the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, you'll find salvation. Yes, you will. But you've got to get off your high horse. You've got to humbly present yourself before God. See it His way and say, "God, I am a sinner and I can't work my way to heaven and I can't be good enough. It's not in religion. It's what Jesus did for me. And it's time for me to get off my high horse and humbly give myself to You and be saved." Amen. That's the Passover. The Passover is fulfilled in Jesus Christ's death. Now hold it. How about that second feast, the Feast of Pentecost? The Feast of Pentecost was fulfilled after Jesus resurrected from the grave and ascended to heaven. Now watch me. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come." This was, okay, remember Jesus Christ was crucified. That's the Passover. And then He was buried for 3 days and 3 nights. He was in that grave. And at the end of that third night, He walked out. Now watch me. And the Bible says He became the first fruits of them that slept. Remember those Israelites? They sowed the seed and then they watched. And they watched. And when that crop first began to poke its head out of the earth, they marked 7 weeks and one day. 50 days later, they celebrated the Feast of Pentecost. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, became the first fruits of them that sleep. He presented Himself alive for 40 days, and then He ascended to heaven. And 10 days later, when they were gathered in the upper room, the Holy Spirit of God came on those folks. 40 plus 10 is 50. This was not an accident, folks. That was an on-purpose gathering. They didn't just show up there by accident and say, well, let's see what God will do today. Oh, no, man. They were in the place that God had them, the perfect place. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, became the first fruits of them that slept, first fruits of the resurrection, stayed alive for 40 days on this earth, showing Himself alive, ascended to heaven. They went to prayer for 10 days, and then the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now watch it. Jesus Christ became our Passover when He died. Jesus Christ fulfilled our Pentecost when He rose from the grave and then ascended alive to heaven 50 days later from the Mount of Olives. Are you with me? All right, good. Now that brings us to number three, the tabernacles. Passover is behind us. Pentecost is behind us. Oh, but tabernacles is ahead of us. Tabernacles has not been fulfilled yet. But one of these days, what was tabernacles, friend? Tabernacles was when the harvest was done. When the harvest was finished. When it was all gathered in. All the harvest of all kinds of fruits and vegetables were all gathered in. They began the harvest, the Feast of Tabernacles. And one of these days, friend, now watch this, when the harvest is over, when the harvest of this church age, this New Testament church age is finished, and all have been gathered in. I'm not talking about barley. I'm not talking about wheat. I'm not talking about dates and figs and olives and corn. I'm talking about people, souls. When the harvest has been all gathered in this New Testament church age, Jesus is going to come and He's going to take us with Him. Remember that they built little booths and they lived in those booths for 7 days. And one of these days, Jesus is going to appear in the skies. And let me tell you how He said it. In John 14, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place, a booth for you. And if I go and prepare a booth, a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also," friend. Oh, listen, Passover is behind us and Pentecost is behind us. But one of these days, friend, in gathering, tabernacles is ahead of us. And when Christ will come and take us to live with Him in the place He has prepared, and all the sweetness of that time in heaven, the sweetness of that, by the way, listen carefully. Listen, the Feast of the Tabernacles had three parts to it. It began in the seventh month, that's September to us. On the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, they had what they called the Feast of Trumpets. The trumpets sounded, signifying that the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingatherings, was beginning. Harvest is done. Harvest is complete. They've all been gathered in. It began with the sound of a trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last," you finish it, "trump. For the trumpet of God, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." 1 Thessalonians 4, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, Passover, and that He rose again, Pentecost, Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise for harvest. Oh yeah, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's the hard. I'm talking about this New Testament church age, friend. I'm talking about the day and age. I know there'll be people saved in the tribulation, but I'm talking about New Testament church age. I'm talking this New Testament age that you and I are living in today. We have Jesus becoming our Passover. We have Jesus becoming our Pentecost. And one of these days, Jesus is coming and to begin the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering, and the first day of the feast. The trumpet sounds. Oh, I can't wait, friend. One of these days, it's going to be a real trumpet sound, brother. Amen. Yes, it will. But now, wait a minute. On the tenth day of this Feast of Tabernacles, they observe what they call the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. Now, friend, let me tell you something. What happens when we get to heaven at the end of the tribulation period? We're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, right? But then after that, we get to observe the marriage feast of the Lamb, where we celebrate the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary to purchase our salvation. And the Lord Himself will be there at that feast. And no doubt but we will remember His body and His blood that He gave for us. That happens on the 10th day of their feast. This Feast of Tabernacles, they had the Day of Atonement. And then on the 15th day, they dwelt in booths. They got in those little forts. And they remembered and they rejoiced and they celebrated. And it was a sweet, sweet time as they looked at all the harvest. Barley, wheat, corn, olives, dates, figs. Look at this. And when we get to heaven, friend, from all four corners of the world, red, brown, yellow, black, and white, we'll all be there, born again, saved, bought by the blood of Christ, redeemed during this New Testament church age, and we'll be with Him. We'll hear the trumpet sound. We'll go to be with Jesus. We'll sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we'll enter into an eternal booth with Jesus Christ for all of eternity future. I'm talking about the Feast of Ingatherings. I'm talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. Now let me say this morning, the sweetness of His harvest. Let me give you two or three thoughts. This is all in this New Testament church age. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all these things to us. All the things that the Jews observed. He's our Passover. He's our Pentecost. He is our tabernacle or our ingathering. Now let me say, this is number one. Let me say this morning. This is work time. This is work time. Passover is done, right? Jesus is not going back to that cross. The next time He comes, He won't have to die for me. Oh no! That's done. Pentecost, celebrating the fact that Jesus rose and became the first fruits. Now watch it. What happened at Pentecost? It was the time, back in the Old Testament, when they observed the Feast of Pentecost. Now watch it. It was when the Jews began to work in the fields. When they began to cultivate and fertilize. And they worked and they labored and they worked and they labored in the field. It was work time. And friend, this is what's happened for you and me. They began to put the sickle, the Bible says, to the corn. So the work, when when Pentecost came, the work was just starting. Just starting. And that's exactly what happened at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. When it came, the work of harvest, this church age was just starting. 3,000 souls got saved that day. 2 days later, 5,000 more got saved. And then other churches, and then they were scattered, and then they went on missionary journeys. And here we are sitting in the United States of America, and we are part of the harvest that's been going on for these years. Since Pentecost. This is work time. And now we're counted on. We are counted on to keep the work of the harvest going. It's not Tabernacles yet. I haven't heard a trumpet. Well, I've heard a trumpet, but I haven't heard His trumpet yet. No. So it's work time. And this is what all this is about. We must keep the harvest work going in the Kankakee County area. We got to keep the work of the harvest. Oh, we got to keep passing out tracts and teaching and training folks how to win souls and knock on doors and run the buses and be a blessing to somebody by giving them a gospel tract. Being a blessing to these missionaries by sending them around the world to preach the gospel. Why? Because this is the harvest time. It's work time. It's work in the field. It's sow and plant and fertilize and cultivate. And the harvest is coming in. Every day the harvest is coming in. This is work time. This is work time. Now, number two, Satan may say this morning. This work is made successful by His Spirit. Isn't that what happened on Pentecost? The outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And the outpouring of the Holy Ghost came on those men, those 120 men and women. And they went out and they worked in the field there in Jerusalem. And they got 3,000 souls harvested. And they continued to work and they got 5,000 souls. And they continued to work and preach the gospel. But they had the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. And you know what, friend? We need that outpouring power of the Holy Ghost of God to make us effective in the work of the harvest. This is work time, but I can't go out and work in the power of my flesh. I need the power of God's Spirit on me. You know, I need God's Spirit to help me go. I need God's Spirit to help me give. Do you understand, friend, that giving is as much a work of the Spirit of God as going is? And if you're not called to go with the message to some far country, you know what you're called to do? You're called to give. Let me tell you something. These guys, they cannot go to these countries in the power of their flesh. And you and I can't attempt to be what God wants us to be when it comes to giving in the power of our flesh. We need the power of God's Spirit on us. So the work is made successful by His Spirit. Let me say this, number three. The work is soon to be finished. The work is soon to be finished. Harvest time does not last forever. Did you ever drive by a field in December when the snow was on the ground, the corn was there? That's just kind of an unnatural thing. You hate to drive by a field and still see the soybeans in the field. With snow halfway up the plant. Well, not this year, but usually. Harvest time had passed and it was left in the field. Listen, we have no idea when harvest is soon to be finished. Jesus said the fields are ripe now for harvest. Ripe right now. The harvest will soon be finished. The work is soon to be done. And number four, let me say this today. The work will be replaced with sweetness. The work is going to be replaced with sweetness. When the harvest ended, then came the tabernacle feast. It was time for the tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacles to begin. And here it was. Here was the barley, and here was the wheat, the corn, the dates, the olives, the figs, everything that they had grown. And they looked at it, and they rejoiced. And they said, isn't this wonderful? Look what God has done. And I want to tell you something, friend. One of these days, when you and I hear that trumpet sound, oh yes, we fly off to heaven. We go through the judgment seat of Christ, and then we sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we see the wounds in the hands of Jesus and the marks on His forehead where He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And then we enter into eternity. We don't have any concept of what that's going to be like to walk in the company of multitudes of people. Red-skinned people, black-skinned people, white-skinned people, brown-skinned people, yellow-skinned people. People from all corners of the globe that have been saved in this dispensation, this church age. I can close my eyes. I get in crowded airports. I get in crowded places once in a while. And the noise, the talk, and sometimes the celebration and the happiness is just so loud. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in heaven when we see the harvest? And we look and there's people that we were able to witness to, and there's our relatives and there's our friends, and somebody comes up to us and says, man, thank you for sending Sam Bunnell to Panama because I got saved, and we're going to rejoice and there's going to be joy and happiness, all the sweetness of the harvest at that time. It'll be a happy time, folks. I have a few laughs along the way down here. I try to enjoy life, even in difficult times. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's the honest truth. I'll tell you why some people are sick, because they have a sad heart. Does good like a medicine. I'm medicine. But I will tell you, there is no joy, there is no happiness, there is no laughter to be compared to what we'll experience someday when the harvest has all been gathered. And the best part about it is we'll be able to look across the halls of heaven, and seated on the throne will be the Lamb, who was the Passover Lamb, and who was our Pentecost, because He was the first fruits of the resurrection, the first fruits of the harvest. And multitude thousands of people, multitudes of thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. And by the way, there'll be more coming. Because during the tribulation period, there's going to be a whole harvest. A different harvest. But when you and I get there, it's going to be remarkable. We're going to rejoice. You'll be so glad in that day that you dropped a few dollars in the plate for missions. You'll be so happy that you had a part in it. You'll be so glad that day that you sat in the class and learned from somebody on how to win souls to Christ and took the gospel track and handed it to somebody. You'll be so glad. You look out over that multitude, thousands of people, and realize that you had a part in that great harvest. It'll be a wonderful time. Amen. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Thank you for listening today. Let me ask a few questions before we go. Jesus Christ became our Passover Lamb. Jesus Christ became Pentecost for us, the first fruits of the resurrection. And Jesus Christ someday will come and harvest, gather us all home, and we'll go to dwell in those mansions that He's prepared for us and see that multitude of people. What a joy, what a sweet time that will be. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. I would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I remember the day that I came to Jesus Christ and submission and humility and trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm so happy today that my sins are forgiven, washed away in the Passover blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Passover Lamb. I'm so happy that I'm saved. I know it. Would you raise your hand this morning if you can say that honestly? God bless you. Amen and amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Would there be one here this morning who would say, Pastor, maybe I've been riding my high horse. Maybe I've been just neglecting it, not paying attention. But I'm no longer going to resist God. I'm no longer going to resist the offer of salvation. I'm no longer going to put Him aside. Jesus Christ became the Passover Lamb, shed His blood for my protection from the wrath of God and an eternity in hell. I need to be saved. God knows I need to be saved. I don't know where I'm going when I die. Pray for me, Pastor Angel. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Wherever you are seated, not sure that I'm saved, just slip it up and right back down. Are you in this group this morning? God bless you. Yes, I see. You may take your hand down. Is there somebody else this morning? Thank you. Somebody else, not sure that I'm saved. Not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody like that today? Think about it for a moment. Eternity is a long, long time. There won't be any going back once we cross that bridge over, friends. It's done. Do you need to be saved? Jesus Christ became the Passover Lamb, shed His blood, the protection from the wrath of God in the place called hell, the lake of fire. Pastor, include me in that prayer because I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Anybody else? All right. Yes, I see. God bless you. Amen. I see that. Somebody else, think about it. It's a long time, folks. Long, long time in eternity. Yes. Pray for me, Pastor. I should raise my hand. I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. All right. Yes. God bless you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking. I want the Spirit of God to speak to hearts this morning. Before I pray, I'm going to pray right now for these. Father in heaven, would you please be with these dear folk who don't know where they're going when they die. Oh God, thank you for Jesus, who became our Passover Lamb and shed His blood to protect us from the wrath of hell and the lake of fire. And I pray, oh God, that you'd please draw folks to Christ this morning. I pray. Do a work in that heart. I ask it in Jesus' name.